Hey gang, welcome to another exciting edition of National Bugle Radio. You have had the Riding a Bike edition. You've had the Broadcasting from a Public Park edition. Today is Driving a Car edition. I'm driving a car, and we'll just see what happens, okay? All right, so this is the plan. I've got a few, let's go this way. I've got a few little clips I want to play for you. Clip number one. Well, I got three clips, okay? Oh, first of all, before we get into any of that, as always, I have to remind you to go to let's start off with nationalbugle.com. Go to nationalbugle.com and download the Koshertified app, because we want to live a non-kosher certified lifestyle. NKC. It's good. And it is not a Mossad front. That's very important these days. In these days when it seems everything is a Mossad front, you can rest assured that your Koshertified app will not send your data to the Mossad. Okay? I can't say anything about your Apple phone or your Android operating system by Google. Tim Cook, who is totally gay, and of course, Koshertified's not at all gay, but for whatever reason, Tim Cook, who's the head of Apple, I mean, he's trying to screw Koshertified, so you probably, if you're downloading the app, you can't have a Apple phone because Tim Cook, for whatever reason, is trying to screw Koshertified. It makes no sense, because Koshertified is totally not gay and totally not a Mossad operation. Apple, I can't guarantee. Google, we all know Google is a Mossad front. I mean, it's becoming pretty clear. But while Google may send your information to the Mossad, the Koshertified app will not. It's guaranteed, 100% guaranteed, not to be a Mossad front. That is a guarantee we can all take to the bank. Preferably a credit union that's not run by Zionists. As for RBN, it is the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is Free Speech Central, the beacon of free speech when everything else is falling by the wayside. That you can support. You can go there and click on the donate button. I say it every time because I mean it every time. Okay. So, what are we talking about today? Well, the first one up, the one that probably take the most time, is Rick Sanchez. You remember Rick Sanchez? He's the guy who, he used to be a CNN anchor person back 10 years ago or whatever, and John Stewart used to make fun of him, and John Stewart, it was always making fun of him. Anyway, Rick Sanchez was on a podcast or a radio show about 10 years ago with this guy. I don't know what the guy's name was, but the guy used to be a writer for Jon Stewart's Daily Show. Not the Daily Show, but the Daily Show. I know it's kind of confusing. The Daily Show. And they got to talking about Jon Stewart making fun of Rick Sanchez. And Rick Sanchez said, well, you know, Jon Stewart, yeah, he doesn't know what it's like for somebody like me, you know, son of Cuban immigrants growing up in a poor family in South Florida down in Miami, and, you know, he doesn't know what it's like. And the radio host said, well, you know, he's a minority. What? What? Yeah, he's Jewish. Yeah, right. Very powerless people. Yeah, right. And about all Rick Sanchez said is, yeah, right, very powerless people. Let me tell you something. At CNN, there's a lot of people just like Jon Stewart. And at all the other networks, there's a lot of people just like Jon Stewart. Yeah, very powerless people. Well, the Jews are so powerless that the very next day, Rick Sanchez's Jewish boss, Jeff Zucker, who's still at CNN, still running the show, fired him. Just to show how powerless the Jews are. Well, Rick Sanchez, I guess he went on a little bit of the apology tour, and then I think he was doing like local, I guess, college football broadcast or something. He's a big guy. He probably played football in college or something. Anyway, he did that for a while. Well, he has reemerged, and he is on RT, Russia Today. which it is not as full out free speech as RBN, but it's getting there. And so I want to play you this clip, and it is on the Jeffrey Epstein case, and they went pretty far, and there is Rick Sanchez in his studio, nice looking studio with a couple of journalists. One is you're not going to see her face, but she has an Asian face. She's probably half Asian, probably has an Asian mother and a Jewish father. I forgot what her name is. You'll catch it. It's some Jewish last name, but was actually going pretty hard on Epstein. And then another guy, and his name slips my mind, but it's a fairly famous name. He's a fairly well-known alternative media journalist. And Rick Sanchez asks the question, is this a Mossad front? And the answer that he gives and his crew gives is, yeah, probably is, regarding Epstein. So let's have a listen to that.
From the national headquarters of RT America in our nation's capital, hello again, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. So it'll all come together. But we're going to begin with Jeffrey Epstein, the man who got a light sentence in Miami after being accused of molesting as many as 36 girls. 36. Because his plea was kept secretive and under wraps. But now he's facing a trial that is going to be covered by seemingly reporters from all over the world. And it's in New York, no less. It's kind of really the same case as the one in Miami, but with a different venue and a hell of a lot more attention. Which is probably why a federal judge today threw the proverbial book at Epstein, telling him that he will not be getting out of jail, that he will not get bond, and that he will stay in jail until his trial is over and he's either found not guilty or he goes to prison, maybe for life. There are two aspects of this story that I want to share with you that really take it beyond the headline, right? What you're hearing every day on regular television networks. Not here. One, who are the famous, powerful people who we know Epstein entertained? And what did they see, or what did they do during those, quote, wild sex parties attended by underage girls? And will Epstein sing to avoid spending the rest of his life in prison if he has to? So they got to be particularly worried today, right? This morning. Two. And this is the other story getting a lot of traction today. Is it possible that Epstein, because of the newly released information about him regarding his mysterious travels with a phony passport, as we reported here a couple of days ago, may have some type of intel ties to either our government or possibly another government seeking to blackmail the men who attended those parties, those, you know, supposed sex parties? Look, as conspiratorial as it sounds, given the nature and the reach of this story, the unexplainable details of his deal with the feds, the stamps that were found on his passport, we determine that you deserve to at least hear the facts wherever they may lead. We are going to be joined shortly by our correspondent, Michelle Greenstein, and journalist Ben Swan. This is The News with Rick Sanchez, where we believe it's time to do news again. Jeffrey Epstein owns a private plane, a home in Paris, resources all over the world. There's much about him, though, that remains mysterious. But this we know. He can no longer slip through the cracks of justice without at least reporters knowing all about it. And he will have to get used to his jail cell because he won't be going home to his $77 million mansion, at least not anytime soon. That's new, right? We have team coverage of this story. News with Rick Sanchez, special correspondent Michelle Greenstein joins us with the very latest developments. And RT contributor and veteran journalist Ben Swan is going to be joining us with his analysis. Michelle, let's get started with you. Take us through what happened today and what you have what else you have found out?
Sure. Well, what happened today is essentially that he was denied bail by this federal judge. He requested the ability to await his trial at his Upper East Side mansion. The judge said, no, you're a danger to the safety of others, including your accusers or alleged victims, and even some prospective victims. So he got a hard no on that. But in terms of what else we know, it's looking more and more every day as if this hedge fund was actually a front for something else. As we know, this fund is offshore, right, in a tax haven at the U.S. Virgin Islands, which means he didn't didn't have to report how much money was on the record. You don't have to report what kind of holdings you have, right? And another curious thing is that the only public client, the only person known to have been a client of this hedge fund is Leslie Wexner, a billionaire for sure, the CEO of Victoria's Secret, but no one else is known to have been a client of this hedge fund. So here's what an actual hedge fund manager, Doug Cass from Seabreeze, had to say about this. He found this quite curious. He said, "I went to my institutional brokers, to their trading desks, and asked if they had ever traded with him. Not one institutional trading desk, primary or secondary, had ever traded with Epstein's firm."
Let me stop you, because I want to be fair, and I suppose give Epstein the benefit of the doubt from a legal standpoint, right?
Sure.
Is it possible that everyone's running from the ship because they're afraid to be associated with this big rat?
Oh, I mean, that's definitely happening. I mean, you see that being covered in the corporate press nonstop.
So, I mean with these traders who are saying, oh, I never
right.
did business with him.
Oh, yeah, of course people want to distance themselves. But in this case, we're talking about an institutional trading desk. They have no records of trading with Epstein's firm. So, of course, on a personal level, you have, you know, some of his friends or so-called, you know, social acquaintances distancing themselves in that way. But I think this is different.
But this is a record. What you're describing
right.
is there's a record of him trading.
But there's no record.
But
exactly.
But they're finding no record.
Exactly.
Right, that's
Which
important.
Is why many are saying that this may have been a front for some sort of blackmailing operation. Even one of Epstein's alleged victims, Victoria Jeffrey, one of his accusers, said this. She said, "He got girls for Epstein's friends and acquaintances. Epstein specifically told me that the reason for him doing this was that so they would, quote, owe him, and he would, quote, have something on them."
Okay, I'm going to interrupt right here. This is key. Notice she didn't say that he was blackmailing them. Exactly. She wasn't implying that they were getting tricked into it. It sounded like she was saying they went into it willingly so that they would owe him something. They took something from him, maybe something they didn't even particularly want, so that they would owe him and he would have something on them. And that's one thing, you know, I don't think that's key to this, but I think it's important that a lot of these people, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them went into it willingly. It's not so much that they couldn't resist a 15-year-old girl. It's that they thought, okay, well, I'll go do something with a 15-year-old girl, let this guy film it, and then he's going to arrange all of these benefits for me. He's got, you know, he'll set me up with benefactors, with campaign donors, with AIPAC, maybe, who knows? Okay, let's hear her say that one more time.
She said, "He got girls for Epstein's friends and acquaintances. Epstein specifically told me that the reason for him doing this was that so they would, quote, owe him, and he would, quote, have something on them." So this is leading some to speculate that he may have been part of some bigger intelligence operation. It's possible that he's just a very sick individual, right? And for some reason enjoyed watching other men abuse children.
Or both.
That's of course possible.
He could be a sick individual who was used perhaps by either foreign as a foreign asset.
That's a good point.
Or a CIA asset.
That's a good point.
Know,
but right? It does stink of a more professional blackmailing operation when you talk about how big this thing really was. And let's bring it back to that controversial plea deal, right, from Alex Acosta, who was the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida at the time, who, as we know, resigned Friday. He said, even he himself said, "I was told Epstein, quote, belonged to intelligence and to leave it alone." So this has led some to question, okay, intelligence asset for who? So let me take you to Robert's...
Can I just stop you for a minute and challenge you on that one? I don't believe anything Alex Acosta says, because he's going to say whatever he has to save his ass.
And you certainly, you know, are justified in doing that, of course. But this isn't him. This doesn't make him look good in any way. You know, understand what I'm saying? So that it comes from him, I find significant. So let me take you to Robert Steele, who's a former CIA and military intelligence officer.
Okay.
This is his statement. He says, "I remain of the view that Jeffrey Epstein is a Mossad clandestine operations officer, assisted by Mossad clandestine operations officer Ghislaine Maxwell, and that their mission is to do precisely what they have been doing, entrap U.S. politicians, judges, celebrities, prosecutors, and corporate leaders."
And most governments will do this if they could. It just so happens the Israelis are really good at it.
Yeah, well, it's that high Ashkenazi IQ goy. This was significant, that talking about Mossad, that it's a Mossad front. Sanchez, I guess, because he's been stung before, has to say, well, yeah, you know, any foreign intelligence service would do it. It's just that the Israelis are really good at it, and they do it all the time. They're good because they got a lot of practice, and they're devious.
Right. I mean, what could be a better asset than someone who has all this dirt, right, this quote-unquote blackmail on a lot of powerful players? And even Philip Giraldi, who's also a former CIA and military intelligence officer, said this. He said, here's how it would have gone if it were true. Mossad would have exploited Epstein's contacts, arranging their cooperation by having Epstein wining and dining them while flying them off to exotic locations, providing them with women and entertainment. Mm. If they refused to cooperate, it'd be time for blackmail, photos and videos of sex with underage women.
So the idea would be that any powerful man, be he tycoon, prime minister, prince, or former president or present president, if somebody was to say to them, I have video of you with a 14-year-old girl.
You do whatever they wanted.
You right. own them.
Right.
They are
in
now
theory.
Officially owned, in theory. And this is the concern in a case like this because it involves so many. Stay where you are.
Let's bring in
Ben Swan. Ben, you've been listening to the conversation. What sayeth you?
Yep. Well, first of all, you guys are touching on some really important points, but a couple of other things to add to this conversation is simply this. Number one, you mentioned about Alexander Acosta and saying you don't believe what he's saying, so try to save his butt.
Right.
I agree with you, but the statement he made about Epstein being intelligence was actually not made when the heat was on him. Mm. It was actually made prior to his confirmation hearing to become labor secretary. He was asked in an interview by the Trump administration when they were vetting him, saying, is this whole Epstein thing going to cause us problems? He said it's not going to cause us problems because I was told to back off, that Epstein was above my pay grade, and that he's some sort of intelligence.
Great point.
So it wasn't when he was under the seat. That's important. Second thing is this, you know, this Maxwell connection is kind of shocking. If you really take a look at what's going on with it, Robert Maxwell, the billionaire from the UK who owned a newspaper empire there. There have been allegations and claims for many years. He died in 1991, by the way, in a completely bizarre way. He was standing naked on his yacht named after his daughter and then jumped in or fell into the ocean near the Canary Islands and either drowned or had a heart attack. And there isn't even a clear cause of death for him. The claims have been made over the years that he was Mossad. In fact, the British Foreign Office believed that he was absolutely a double agent, and they believed that he was Mossad. Mm-hmm. So if he was Mossad, possibly, it's also possible that his daughter is connected to Mossad, and that's how she's connected to Epstein, because the two have been together for years but don't seem to have any relationship other than her being his fixer, which is a very strange relationship for the daughter of a billionaire to take.
Adding something to what you're talking about right now, Michelle had mentioned to me Maxwell was essentially his only partner, client.
Right. So the daughter of Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, pretty much acted as this recruiter and even sometimes a participant in this sexual abuse. But I think Ben is absolutely hitting the nail on the head. We have this father of his partner in crime with very strong ties to Mossad, who's been accused of being an Israeli agent by many journalists, including Pulitzer Prize winning journalist Seymour Hersh. And in a book called Robert Maxwell, Israel Super Spy, that actually really details both his life and death, a very strong case is made for the fact that he was actually assassinated by the Mossad after he became a liability.
All right, let me push back on both of you here a little bit. Could it be that Maxwell just happened to be one of his many clients, as, you know, can happen in most cases?
Are you talking about the daughter?
So I'm talking about both the daughter and Maxwell, whoever it was that he's being tied to.
No, because Maxwell... Okay, go ahead, Ben. Yeah, sorry.
To you.
Well, no, I was going to say, so Robert Maxwell was not a client in any way. But here's something interesting, Rick, that you, because I know you how you like to go down this rabbit hole, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. Robert Maxwell, after he died, he is a British citizen, was given a state funeral in Israel. The prime minister got up and said that he had done much more for Israel than anyone could ever know this day during his eulogy. So Robert Maxwell was clearly tied in ways to the state of Israel that go far beyond what the average person would be, even the average billionaire. He was connected very, very heavily to that. As for his daughter, in terms of her involvement, again, her relationship to Epstein is so important because, again, here's a woman who seems to go around and recruit these girls for him and gets nothing out of it. Other than to be like kind of his partner in crime. And then last thing I'd say about this, the black book that Epstein has the names of so many, and not just in the United States. We're talking about U.S. politicians. We're talking about, again, his relationship with people like Prince Andrew, the king of Saudi Arabia, King Bin Salman, is in that book. So he's connected to people all over the world.
Listen,
and people with whom the Israelis would want to connect.
I read the New Yorker today, Gabe Sherman's piece. I saw some of the new names that are out there. We are out of time. Wish we could go, but I'm just going to ask you yes or no. Michelle first. Is he going to sing?
No.
Ben.
If he sings, I don't think they give him time to. He'll also fall off a boat someplace.
Wow. My thanks to both of you. Good segment.
Thanks, man.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store. Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Well, this is the shorter segment. We have a short segment, so I have just a short clip to play for you this time. This one is from Tucker Carlson. What was his show? The Tuesday Night Show, maybe? Yeah, I guess it was his Tuesday Night Show. And he started the show, and he showed a couple little videos from New York City. Showed blacks, not exactly rioting, but, and when you say attacking the police, they weren't attacking the police to draw blood, they were attacking the police to humiliate them. They were pouring water, dumping water on their heads and taunting them and laughing at them and maybe throwing trash at them, and someone threw a bucket at one of the cops and hit him in the head with the bucket, and the cops knew that, you know, what can they do if they're surrounded by a mob, if they try to arrest somebody, they're going to get it could escalate into a violent situation, and it'll be all this. They didn't do nothing. And then of course their boss, the cop's boss, Bill de Blasio, because he was both in New York, Bill de Blasio hates the cops, he doesn't have their back, and so the cops just had to suffer humiliation and walk away while being pelted with trash and water dumped over their head. So Tucker showed the clips, and then, you know, he came back and he was talking about some of the real problems we face. I'm not sure exactly what he was talking about, but probably I don't know, what was he talking about? Immigration. He talks about the, one thing he talks about is the opiate crisis. He talks about a lot of things. He talks about some real problems. He says, but if you listen to these people, if you listen to the mainstream media, all you're going to hear about, the only problems that America has, it all comes down to two things. Russia and anti-white racism. White racism. He said anti-white racism. Wow. Let's check. I do want to check the... after playing this clip, I'm going to play the clip for you. And then... Wow, somebody's in a hurry. And then we're going to come back and we'll see what the blogosphere has to say about this. Okay. So, roll the clip, Mr. T.
It's easy to dismiss Bill de Blasio as a buffoon because he is a buffoon. But if you're a New York City cop, you can't dismiss him. The NYPD works for Bill de Blasio. Imagine hearing your own boss denounce you as a bigot on the basis of zero evidence, no evidence whatsoever. What effect would that have? Would it make you want to risk your life to do your job? Or would it convince you just to give up? You know the answer. You just saw the video. When cops give up like that, criminals thrive, and that means that innocent people get hurt. Something similar is happening in cities across the country. Almost every Democrat in the presidential race suddenly sounds just like Bill de Blasio.
I have challenged our police department to recognize all of the ways in which the uniform has been burdened by racism.
We're going to crack down on police brutality aimed primarily at people of color.
Training for police officers on implicit racial bias and procedural justice, because to deny it exists is to deny folks liberty and in many cases life.
How can we continue to lose the lives of unarmed black men in the United States of America at the hands of white police officers? That is not justice.
Okay, that was Cory Booker, the black, kind of black senator from New Jersey. And notice how he said, not at the hands of policemen, but at the hands of white policemen. And, you know, half the time, if not half the time, lots of the time, the people who shoot black, these unarmed blacks who are usually engaged, almost always engaged in criminal activity, they're black themselves. So, I mean, okay. And next we're going to hear from Julian Castro.
If you are young and black, you're treated differently because of the color of your skin. I don't believe that it's just a case of a few bad apples. I believe that the system is broken.
They all say it with total confidence, like they know it's true, like they've got the data to prove it. But they don't have the data because it's not true. It's an utter lie. Most cops are not racist. Anyone who bothers to learn anything about this subject knows that. In fact, just this week, a new study, there have been others, but a new study by researchers at Michigan State and University of Maryland found no systemic racial bias at all in policing. It turns out that whether cops are black or Hispanic or white or Asian or whatever, they have the same likelihood of using force against a criminal suspect. Nor do police show bias in who they use force against. Turns out the shooting rate for different races closely matches the overall crime rate.
And of course, the crime rates for the different races are very, very different. And that's the whole thing.
And in the vast majority of police shootings, the criminal suspect was armed or otherwise appeared to pose a danger to police. If you're over 40, you may remember that this used to be a much more dangerous country than it is today. Huge parts of urban America were uninhabitable because of crime. If you've ever wondered why we built those sprawling, soulless suburbs everywhere, that's why we did. Because people were afraid to live in cities.
In other words, because of black crime.
And that could easily happen again. And it may. People like Pete Buttigieg take part. Buttigieg is running around promising to cut America's prison population in half, indiscriminately, just the top 50%. Rapists, murderers, doesn't matter. They're out. Cory Booker, meanwhile, is promising to release a murderous drug lord, calling him a nonviolent offender. Every Democratic candidate of note now supports de facto open borders with Mexico. Sanctuary cities are everywhere in America. All of these are connected by a thread. They're all attacks on law and order. But there's a deeper problem. What they really are, or attacks on society itself. And they're having an effect. Our biggest cities are now filled with filthy homeless encampments. Typhus and bubonic plague have returned, for example, to Los Angeles for the first time since the conquistadors left. Americans are dying of drug ODs in greater numbers than were killed during Vietnam. Our schools are a joke. Young people can't get married, buy homes, or have kids. Big tech increasingly controls what you do, what you see, what you're allowed to think. These are some of the real problems that we face in this country, problems that challenge our future as a nation. They're not small things, and yet our leaders ignore them completely. To them, America has just two problems. Russia and anti-white racism and white racism.
Big time Freudian slip. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to the show. This is a part of the show that I like to call waiting for my aunt to get ready to take her to a doctor's appointment because my cousin is otherwise indisposed. And so there might maybe a little bit of background noise, but that's the way these things work sometimes. So what I'd like to talk about for this segment is Robert Mueller's testimony, which I only saw little bits and pieces of it, but I've seen, because I was busy doing important things like Stormfront Radio and whatnot, but I have seen some pieces of it here and there, and seen a lot about on the, what would you call it, the blogosphere, on the Twittersphere, about what people have to say. And it seems that everybody thinks he's senile. I mean, it's not just Andrew Anglin who's been saying that for a while. But I guess somebody sourced by the Drudge Report and some of the congresspeople themselves. Senator Lindsey Graham, I believe. Was it Lindsey Graham? One of these senators said that, well, he hasn't testified before Congress for 6 years and is not quite as sharp as he was last time. Of course, we've been told for the past couple of years that he's so sharp, he does his work. And I don't know. Was this an act? Because he wasn't giving press conferences during these 2 years, except he had one very, very brief. It wasn't exactly a press conference, but where he made an announcement. He read a statement. It was about 8 minutes long, and then he walked off without taking questions. So he wasn't really doing the whole questioning thing. And so I don't know. Is he really senile? I mean, it's obviously fun for people to talk about him like that. But what's really going on there? Well, we do know that, you know, you had Rod Rosenstein who appointed him. You had some other Jewish guy who was one of his main assistants. And this, I think he was just kind of a goy face to this whole thing. Give it. So it didn't look like a completely Jewish coup d'etat, but it was. This was a Jewish coup d'etat. And I don't say attempted coup d'etat because it was a success. And, you know, they've got Trump. You know, there's the I still think it's an outside chance, but there is the outside chance that whatever Epstein does, that he's got Trump under his thumb to an extent as well. I don't know. I mean, the thing is, Donald Trump said during his campaign that he could stand out in Second Avenue and shoot somebody and nobody would care. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, he was... Stormy Daniels didn't bring him down, grabbed him by the, you know, kitten or whatever you want to call it. That didn't bring him down. He seemed like pretty indestructible, pretty Teflon. So would Epstein have something that would really bring him down? Frankly, I doubt it. But you never know. You never know. So, you know, we'll just have to see on that one. But they've got him where they want him. You know, I it could be the Epstein thing. I always thought that, you know, with Mueller being able to, or his team, because if Mueller's senile, he probably, or, you know, not so sharp anymore, he probably really wasn't calling the shots. But, you know, they wound up, you know, interrogating all these people who had nothing to do with the original, you know, the original charge, of course, was that Putin and the Russians were doing exactly the thing that we know Epstein has been doing all along. That's the whole accusation. And, you know, with that whole, you know, hookers in a Moscow hotel room story from Christopher Steele. They never even interviewed Christopher Steele. And, you know, they really didn't go after that because, of course, there was nothing there. But they went after all these tangential things, trying to get into his business dealings, his taxes, and, you know, his associates making examples of Stone, what's the guy's name? Something Stone, and Paul Manafort in particular. You know, locking him up and throwing away the key for doing things that everybody in Washington does, not necessarily for the same bosses, but usually for the Israelis. But, you know, he wasn't working for the Russians. He was working for Ukrainian that the Russians that Putin has a very bad relationship with. So there you go with that. Does that sound like collusion? No. So but there was a coup. So didn't go after the Russian stuff. Maybe there's some Epstein stuff being held over his head, but you know, between Mueller and the courts and you know, the antics like Gary Cohn, where he claims to have taken papers off of Trump's desk so that he wouldn't be able to sign them. You know, other papers that he did sign, an executive order taking away John Brenner's security clearance. Just, okay, well, he signed the executive order, we'll ignore it, and months later, there's Brennan still with his security clearance. There's been a coup, and Trump can admit there's a coup, and, you know, look ineffective, and if he admits there's a coup, then why would anybody vote for him? Although if he admit it, you know, it would depend how. I mean, if he admits there's a coup and then says, come on, help me fight it, then that would be one thing. But, you know, he's just pretending to be president. And, you know, if he pretends to be president, he gets reelected. Who knows what happens, but most likely, then, you know, if nothing else, he doesn't go to jail. Jail gets to live in the White House, and that'll be good enough. The Democrats aren't offering anybody of very much interest to people for the most part. Although, like I say, I've endorsed Tulsi Gabbard, and I do think she's going to get far enough to have an impact on the discussion. I think she's going to get past Iowa and New Hampshire. How far past it, I don't know. She might be able to stick around longer than she should because she might get kind of a cult following the way Ron Paul did, or the way, and Ron Paul didn't drop out when he was no longer you know, a viable nominee. When he stuck around, she might stick around. She might get enough attention, and she might stick around and continue to talk about regime change wars and Zio. Not Zio. She didn't say Zio. Regime change wars and the new Cold War. New Cold War. That's straight out of. I mean, that is a term that was coined by Stephen F. Cohen, who has been the academic who has most, he's actually been most supportive of Donald Trump's original agenda of better relations with Russia. He's been supportive of that, as disappointed as everybody else, because it's not coming to fruition. But he's been right about things all along. He's, you know, he speaks carefully. But all the Zio press calls him a big Putin apologist. I don't know if he's speaking directly to Tulsi Gabbard, but I do know that Tulsi Gabbard is taking his talking points, and that's a good thing. Trump wasn't, and of course, Stephen F. Cohen is somebody that presidents have listened to. George H.W. Bush invited Stephen F. Cohen and another Jew, because you have to ask the Jews, but asked Richard Pipes, the father of Daniel Pipes, who is a Jewish kind of academic, but he's more of a activist, who started this campus watch, you know, where they would keep an eye, they'd have Jewish students keep an eye on what their professors said and report people who got out of line. But that's Daniel Pipes. His father, Richard Pipes, was, you know, a big, I guess, one of the original neocons. And so Cohen and Pipes went to debate policy in front of George H.W. Bush and his staff. I can't see how, well, you know, I guess it would have gotten mixed views, because who was H.W. Bush's staff? Well, I mean, you had Dick Cheney was his Secretary of Defense. Condoleezza Rice was in there somewhere. Who else did he have? Brent Scowcroft. And I would imagine that I can't imagine that Stephen F. Cohen lost the debate, but I can very much imagine that the fix was in, you know, George H.W. Bush wasn't an intellectual. He did get in trouble with the Israel lobby because he and James Baker had cut aid to Israel. They cut these credits, loan credits, loan guarantees to Israel that, as a response to Israeli buildings of settlements in the occupied West Bank. That was, of course, H.W. Bush put together this Gulf War coalition. He got a lot of Arab countries to at least nominally participate. But more than nominally. I mean, flying their air sorties, the Saudis have a big air force. And I guess that was part of the quid pro quo for getting, not just Saudi, but Syrian support for the war against Iraq, was to try to throw the Palestinians a bone. He tried that. But in terms of Russia, H.W. Bush's policy, I thought, Reagan helped end the Cold War in spite of his aides trying to drag him back, because, of course, Reagan had agreed at Reykjavik to completely eliminate nuclear weapons. Gorbachev and Reagan said, well, okay, let's get rid of them all. And George Shultz and Caspar Weinberger said, whoa, wait a minute, that's not happening. So they eliminated what they saw the most dangerous class, the intermediate range missiles. And so you had the INF treaty came out of that. But so Reagan, I'll give some credit to, Bush inherited a basically post-Cold War. He inherited an ended Cold War, but a Cold War that had ended, but a Soviet Union that still existed. And the first Gulf War was a dagger in the back of Gorbachev, and it convinced what you could call the hardliners, although you might just call them those who are more prudent and cautious about the United States. It convinced them that the new thinking in foreign policy, that was Gorbachev's policy of being conciliatory to the United States, was a disaster. And so they tried to oust him in August 1991. They tried to oust Gorbachev. They put him under effective house arrest for a few days, and then that led to a counter coup from Boris Yeltsin, who by the end of the year wound up taking over Russia at the expense of dismantling the Soviet Union. So I see that as having been launching the Gulf War against Kuwait, that wouldn't have been Stephen F. Cohen's advice. That would have been Daniel Pipe's or Richard Pipe's advice. I know that it's kind of a tangent, but sometimes these things need to be said. Anyway, getting back to Mueller, there, of course, were all of these Republicans or, Drudge-type people, right-wingers, who were saying that he's senile. I misquoted. It wasn't Lindsey Graham. I mean, Lindsey Graham, his tweet is, Mueller hearing becoming very confusing and sad. What I said about him not being as sharp as he was 6 years ago, that was from David Axelrod, who is, was a senior advisor to Obama, and he's Jewish himself. So there you go. Okay. Well, we only have a few minutes left in this segment. I'm going to just mention a couple of articles. I'm going to the Daily Stormer. I think Andrew Anglin is the best newsman. He is just a great newsman. He works tirelessly, gets all this news out there. Justice Department launching wide sweeping antitrust investigation into Jewish tech monopolies. So we'll see. It's hard to expect much, but when you've got Google, it's come out that Google was actually behind CrowdStrike, which was the firm used by the DNC and Hillary Clinton to investigate the Russian attack on her email server. Saving the FBI from the bother, who needs all the fuss and bother of investigating, looking into a server when they'll do it for him. And Google was behind that. So basically, you had Google who we know that was trying to throw the election to Hillary. Google was actually, through CrowdStrike, was the one saying that, okay, it was the Russians who hacked the server. FBI, you don't need to look at it. We've taken care of it. It was the Russians. Okay, well, so we'll see what happens with that. One more story that looks a bit interesting up here. This is, where are we? The immigration concern reaches highest levels in history. So we've got, obviously, this massive invasion into our country. And, you know, here's the thing about elections and everything. People tend to look at elections and say, okay, well, white demographics is going down and, you know, Hispanic voters are going to go up. But you also have to remember that the environment is changing and alarm about things is going up. And so a lot of white voters who weren't alarmed at immigration 4 years ago are alarmed at it now. And the alarm is only going to rise. And so that offsets a lot of the demographic change. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future. Okay, well, this is the segment of the show I like to call my aunt's ready to go, and I'm just going to let Mr. T play some songs. So hit it, Mr. T.
Way down on the levee in old Alabama, there's Daddy and Mammy, there's Ephraim and Sammy. On a moonlight night, you can find them all while they're waiting. The banjos are syncopating. What's that they're saying? Oh, what's that they're saying? The while they keep playing, I'm humming and swaying. It's the good ship Robert E. Lee has come to carry the cotton away. Watch him shoving along. See them shuffling along. Go take your best gal, real pal. Go down to the levee. I said the levee. Join the shuffling throng. Hear the music and song. It's simply great, mate. Waiting on a levee. Waiting for the Robert E. Lee. Whistles are blowing, smokestacks are showing, the ropes they are throwing. Excuse me, I'm going to the place where all is harmonious. Even the preacher, they say, is the dancing teacher. Have you been down there? Say, were you around there? If you ever go there, you'll always be found there. What doggone, here comes my baby on the good ship Robert E. Lee. Watch him shuffling along. See them shuffling along. Go take your best gal, your real pal. Go down to the levee. I said the levee. Join the shuffling throng. Hear the music and song. It's simply great, mate. Waiting on the levee. Waiting for the Robert E. Lee.
Of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.